Isaiah 61, reading verses 1 to 4. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastation of many generations. And then just one verse before we look at the passage in Matthew from Psalm 147, verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. In the New Testament lesson in Matthew 8, reading verses 14 to 17. And when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose and began to serve him. That evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. This is God's word. We're in a series this fall entitled Finding Freedom, and we are exploring the different ways, the many different ways that Christ has freed us, and God wants us to experience that freedom. The Apostle Paul says it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And Jesus himself said in John chapter 8 that if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So we've been looking at this in the scriptures and exploring different ways that we have freedom and how we can step into that freedom that God has purchased for us and given to us in Christ. We've looked at a number of different things. We started out with looking at freedom from sin's guilt and the penalty of sin. We then talked about freedom from from sin's presence and power. We talked about freedom from doubt, the assurance of our salvation. Last week, Rob preached on freedom from perfectionism. This week, I want us to think about something a little different, perhaps that we don't think about a whole lot, and that's freedom from the past. Freedom from the past. All of us have a past, and like it or not, that past affects us. It lives with us, and we live with the past. William Faulkner said, "The past is never dead. It's not even the past." And what he meant by that was that we all, you know, the story, the history of our lives is with us, and we carry that with us even into the future. When I was 4 years old, my family took a family vacation out west. It was a stereotypical 1970s vacation. It was about 1971. Packed up the Chevrolet station wagon, and off they went. I'm the youngest of four. I was 4 years old at the time. And they didn't take me. I know, right? I mean, they didn't. They left me. I stayed in Georgia on the farm with my parents. I can still remember them driving off. And there they go. Where are they going? They were gone a long time. And it's become a family joke. My brother will say, "Patrick, remember that time we went to the Grand Canyon?" "Oh, yeah, you weren't there." So it's a little bit of a family joke, And, all of us have funny stories like that. Some of us have really serious stories from the past, things that really hurt. And whether we admit it or not, or whether we realize it or not, the past is still with us. And it affects us. It informs our decision making. It can control our lives. For some of us, we've made too much of the past. And that's all we can think about. And it's really laid a hold of us. For others of us, we say, you know, I had hard things in my past, and that's really what made me the person I am today. Right? I mean, it was those hard things that we learned, where we learned the most, and those hard things shaped us. Well, what's the difference in a hard thing in the past becoming something good and redeemed and something that really derails us and becomes a chain? Well, that's what we want to talk about this morning, because God has an answer for that. And his plan is, he has an answer for moving it from a chain or a prison or something that holds us back into something that can be redeemed. And the word for that in the scriptures is healing. Healing. Somebody rightly, I think, said, you know, discipleship and spiritual growth is about God leading us into the future. But healing is God taking us to the past and bringing his power of forgiveness to things in the past and letting his blood cover and his cross cover the things in the past so that we can move forward in the Christian life. And that's called healings. Healing. It's really a forgiveness of sin. Now, some people may be thinking, well, hey, that's a really painful thing, and I don't appreciate you bringing that up this morning, because I've got stuff in my past that I've worked really hard to push to the side and ignore and deal with, and I'm doing okay, and I don't want anybody to bring that up. Yes, I get that. That's legitimate. But I think there might be, hopefully there'll be something for you this morning about how God wants us to deal with that. Others may be thinking, well, I don't even really know what you're talking about. I don't have anything that's really from my past that's hurting me that bad. Well, you're fortunate. You're blessed by God. I remember Tim Keller telling us in seminary, he said, if you make it to 40 years old without something really hard derailing your life, you're one of the fortunate and blessed ones. Most people don't make it that long. Most people have to deal with some serious hardship, something serious, serious pain in their life before they reach 40, at least, and some much younger, some very, very young. And for some of us, this past has crippled us. The past has crippled us. For most of us, all of these things, they're deprivations, they're wounds, they're things in our past that we need to deal with, or God wants us to deal with, but we need to do it in the right way. So the Bible, there is a past, and it can haunt us. It can haunt us. It doesn't have to, but it can. The Bible calls these our infirmities. Okay, our infirmities. We're not talking about our guilt and our sin. We do have that in the past, and we've talked about that. There's forgiveness and there's cleansing in the blood of Christ. But we're really talking about those things that are, they may be the consequences or the fallout from our sin. It may be the fallout from somebody else's sin. It could be just the fallout from general worldwide brokenness, war and poverty, or something that happened just in the country. Or, you know, it's none of us have had an ideal life, and that has left its consequences and its history written into us. Our confession of faith calls this the miseries of life. It says that we have to deal with sin, and then we have to deal with the miseries of this life. In other words, the consequential and cosmic brokenness of the world, and we live in that. And it could be the result of our own sin. It could be the result of another person's sin or a failure of another person. It could be something institutional or big cultural brokenness. It could be the absence of something. Maybe, it could be just the fact that we didn't get what we needed. None of us have a perfect past. And this is an issue for us because we're fearfully and wonderfully made, right? We have a memory. Think about that, that we have a memory that can hold so much in there, so much of the past. God created us with this enormous capacity, and that's a blessing, and that's a gift that we can even remember. You know, my black lab at home, he can't remember that I just fed him. You know, he's forgotten that. So he can't hold the past like we can. And that's a sign that we're created in the image of God, that our memories hold so much. But it's also, it's just not just the good stuff, it's all the brokenness that gets stored in there as well. All the brokenness, all the sin. And And that's because we're made in the image of God. So memory is this amazing thing. It's maybe even a foretaste, I think, of what we're going to experience in heaven when all things are made clear. All things are going to be unveiled to us. We'll have this enormous capacity in our minds to take it all in. We remember a lot. Neurosurgeons tell us that, they do some neurosurgery where the patients are actually, they're sedated, but they're awake during the brain surgery. Can you believe that? And they'll actually be able to touch certain parts of the brain during those procedures, and memories will come back that they didn't even know were in there. And we experienced that. You know, I had a 30th high school reunion a few years ago, and I went over to this dinner. There were about 15 of us, and they started telling stories, and I started remembering all of these things that we did. And I was like, we did that? Yeah, I remember. I kind of remember, but it was gone. But they called it back. It was in there, and they called it back. It's an amazing thing, right? Amazing thing. But what's in there is also the brokenness. And that those memories, if we don't deal with them, if we don't offer them up to the Lord, they can hold us back. They can dominate our life and control our future. So part of God's love for us is that he meets us and he forgives and he brings his power of redemption and restoration even to all of that past, so that we don't have to serve the past. We don't have to be chained to the past, so that our future doesn't have to be determined by the past. That's an amazing, amazing truth. He brings his love and meets us where we need it most, and brings his forgiving touch, his healing touch, and his healing words. And we're going to talk about this more in just a moment, but this is because time is not, we experience time differently than God, and time is not an obstacle to him. Time is not an obstacle to him. Now, we need this because, like I said, if we don't, the chains, the past, can dominate our lives. It can control us. They can become chains. The past can leave us with what the scriptures call in Isaiah 61, broken hearts. The brokenhearted. In Psalm 147, he heals the brokenhearted. Now, that's bigger than feelings. Okay, a lot of times when we read those lines, we can say, "Oh, that's God's making me feel better." That it may include our emotions, but this is deeper than our emotions, because our hearts are deeper than our emotions. There's a lot of scriptures in your outline if you want to look at this further, because we don't have time to look at all of this. But in the heart, the Bible's teaching on the heart is so deep and so important for us to grasp. It's the seat. It's the center of who we are. It's the wellspring of life, Proverbs 4:23. It's where we believe. It's where we obey. It's where we meet God. It's the place out of which all of our thoughts and all of our words and all of our actions come. The heart is this precious center of the being, okay? It's very, very important to us. It's deeper even than our minds and our emotions and our will. And so when scriptures say our hearts are broken, that word in the Hebrew literally means to shatter, to break into pieces. It's the word that would have been used if you dropped a jar and it fell to the ground and broke into pieces. Broken hearts. And if our hearts are broken, and all of our life comes out of our hearts, then can't we see that we need healing? We need restoration. We need putting back together at the very core of who we are. And Jesus says, "I came to heal the brokenhearted. I came to put all that back together." You see, the broken heart leaves us with all kinds of consequences, all kinds of bitterness and frustrations and anger, all of that. The reason is Luke 6:45, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we need to deal with our broken hearts. And we know this, and a lot of us try to deal with our broken hearts in our own strength. We come up with a lot of different strategies. One strategy is just to deny that it's even broken. No, I'm fine. How are you? I'm fine. You know the old acronym about what FINE means. It means I'm frustrated, insecure, neurotic, and exhausted. So I just deny it. There's nothing there. There's nothing to see. Move on. The other end of the spectrum is to elevate it. And a lot of people, they've experienced something. Whatever they experience, they elevate it and say, this is really the most important. This is the only thing about me that's really true. It's the most important thing. My parents didn't take me to California. Hi, I'm Patrick Curls. Let me tell you about what my parents did to me. It's the only thing that's in their minds. It's the only thing they can think about. They elevate it and it becomes the dominant thing in their lives and in their minds. They can't get past the past because they started worshiping the past. Some of us try to justify it. We find some excuse for what happened. And some of us try to fight it. We try to deal with it in our own strength and try to force it away. Well, the alternative is to deal with it in collaboration with God, to let Christ come in and begin to knit us back together. God stands ready to forgive all the sin that has broken us, all of it. Not just to forgive your sin, but through you to begin to bring his healing and redemptive power to all that has left us broken. So let's talk about three truths that I think are here in these scriptures that are important for us to grasp. One is our sins are not just forgiven, they are forgotten. They're not defining our future. And we talked about this when we talked about being free from sin's guilt. And a lot of us think, I know God's got to cleanse me. He's got to wash me. He's got to forgive my sin. But he doesn't forget it. He's still remembering that. And he's still dealing with me on the basis of my past. Listen to what the scriptures say. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. And I will not remember your sins. I will not remember them. That means he's not going to bring them up again. He's going to put them away. Means your future is not going to be dependent or contingent upon the past. Jeremiah 31:34, I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sins no more. Hebrews 8:12, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. He won't remember their sins any more. So it's not simply that Christ and God in Christ forgives us the guilt of our sins. He puts them away and says, okay, we're going to move forward. And a lot of us need to remember that because we think, well, that thing that I did, that's still affecting my future. God can't get past that. And he's never going to let me forget that. Read an article this past week of the oldest woman in the world. She's 129. She lives in Russia. And she said, this long life is not a blessing of God. He's punishing me. He's punishing me for something I did when I was young. And a lot of us really live that way. And y'all, that is not the gospel. That is a lie from Satan that says God is remembering your sins and he's shaking his finger at you. And he doesn't want you to forget it and he's not going to forget it either. God does not hold our sin over us anymore. It's not just that we were forgiven. He has forgotten it. The second thing is that he heals the brokenhearted. He heals and restores wholeness in places where we have been broken by sin. Did you notice what he said in Isaiah 61? He gives us a headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. He takes out the brokenness and restores wholeness. And he can do that. Sin has caused this brokenness, and he says, I'm going to replace that with fullness and wholeness and restoration. The word heal in Isaiah 61 simply means to provide cure, to make healthy again, to restore, to bind up, and put back together. Now, this is possible because of two important theological truths that we all need to grasp very deeply. And the first is this, for God, he is not bound by time, and therefore he can work in all aspects of time. He's not bound by time. C.S. Lewis said, it's like a pen. If this is all of history, the beginning and the end, God looks at the whole pen all at once. There is no past and there's no present and there's no future with God. For us, we experience time in the moment and we can remember the past and we can imagine the future, but that's not true with God. There is no past because time is created. It's a created thing. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's not bound by time. So C.S. Lewis says it this way, to be God is to enjoy an infinite present where nothing is passed away and nothing is still to come. Every moment is before him on his throne. So he doesn't have to stretch. He doesn't have to reach. It's all available to him. Now, we can't really comprehend that. But what that means for you and for me is that your past is not really passed to God. He can reach and touch that. Now, that doesn't mean the past is changed. That doesn't mean he alters the past. But it does mean that he can touch it and he can heal it through the blood of Christ, through the cross of Christ. The second thing that's important for us to understand is the theological doctrine of aseity. The doctrine of aseity is the doctrine that God has the power to create. He has the power to call into being things that didn't exist before. So when God says, let there be light, there's light. Now, I can say, let there be light, and nothing happens because I don't have that power to be. But he has the power to exist. So his existence and power of being is not contingent upon an outside force or another outside being. He can just be. But we exist in him. Paul says, in him we live and move and have our being. And what that means is that not only is God not bound by time, but he's not bound by existence. And so he can put back into you something that was never there. That's why the scriptures say he can restore what the locusts have eaten. He can put back something that didn't even exist. Now, it doesn't mean so much that now it exists, but it does mean that portion that was broken by sin can be healed back together. God can say, I want this to be whole again in this one, in this child of mine. And so that our future doesn't have to be tied to that vacancy or that deprivation from the past. He restores what the locusts have eaten. This is why when we read Matthew 8, this is why Matthew said this healing, this physical healing of casting out demons and restoring the sick and getting the lame to walk and restoring sight to the blind and all the healing miracles in the Gospels are tied to Isaiah 53. This was to fulfill what was written by the prophet. He heals our diseases. He takes up our infirmities. He restores and heals our diseases. Not physically. All those people who were healed in the New Testament have died. But he's telling us that God can heal that which is broken within us. And how did Jesus heal? What did Jesus do? To bring about healing, he did two things, one of two things, and sometimes both. He spoke and he touched. He spoke and he touched. He spoke a healing word, and because he is the firstborn of creation, because he is the one in whom all things exist and are created, when he says, get up and walk, that man gets up and walks. And when he says to you, I'm going to heal that hurt is healed. In the power of Jesus Christ because of who he is. And he touches. And if a neurosurgeon can touch a brain and heal a brain, don't you think that the one in whom all things exist can touch your heart and your brain and heal you? And if he can heal a man who was touched with leprosy and make it go away and blindness and restore sight, don't you think he can put back with his healing touch all that is left out in your heart and my heart? This is an amazing, deep truth that he is able to do this with his healing touch and his healing word. And what this means is that Jesus has in him all that's necessary, to move forward. Now, some people may have hurt us and they should apologize. But do you have to wait for their apology to move forward? Absolutely not. Should they? Yes. But do you have to wait for it to move forward? No. Now, that relationship can't be healed until there's forgiveness. But God does not make your future progress in the Christian life dependent upon the actions of another person or another group of people. And so all this business about, I need apologies, I need this, I need somebody to apologize for this, and somebody needs to do this so I can move forward because I need healing, so I need you to do something so I can get... That's not how it works. The only one that can truly heal a heart is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He comes and He dwells there and He says, I'm going to put that back together. And I don't need a group of people, and I don't need a person to do that. We just come to Him. You know, it's what we sang about at the very beginning. Open now the crystal fountain whence the healing streams doth flow. He has the healing streams. In Him you are complete, Colossians 2:10 says. So God is able to knit that brokenness further into something beautiful. This is the real importance of Romans 8:28. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. It doesn't mean, that verse does not mean the past was perfect. What it means is that because God is in the lives of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose, for those who are His children, if He is there, He is able to take that broken past and weave it into something good, that the future is not contingent upon the past. That's what that verse means. Not that it was a perfect past, but that He'll give a future because of who He is, because He will touch it, because He'll restore it, because He will not let sin defeat His church. He will not let sin break His people. He has freedom for them. And so what awaits us is enormous freedom. Enormous freedom. This is why Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has what? Passed away. It's gone. Behold, the new has come. New growth, new life. That's freed from the chains of the past. So you can say, well, you know, I didn't even have a dad. You know, my father's father died when he was 7. You don't think that had an impact on him and on us? But he's a Christian, my dad is, and God can put into his heart all that wasn't, that should have been put there. Should have been put there. He had a hard childhood. But God is able to put into his life all that should have been put there that wasn't. And that's the same for me and for my children and for you and for your children and your grandchildren. Because Christ lives there and He restores. Healing is not a return to life as normal. There's still scars. But there's scars where something has been healed. You say, well, that was a break, but God put it back together and it's stronger. We're better. It's like the prayer at the very beginning of the silent meditation when you came at the beginning of the worship. Father, mend us and make us better than we could be without you. Take those things that are broken in our lives and visit us with your healing. That's what we want. We want Him to visit us with His healing. God is calling us to the future, not to the past. And He stands ready to forgive and to heal and to put back all that we need. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for this deep and mysterious truth. And Father, we confess that I don't understand all of this. I don't understand and comprehend Your relationship with time and Your healing and Your spirit and our hearts. But Father, we come in faith to Christ. And we believe by faith that He is able to heal and that You have good things in store for us and that we don't have to live in chains to whatever has happened, whatever's happened to us and whatever we did. Thank You that the blood of Jesus Christ is powerful and that You are Lord, You are the potentate of time, and You are able to heal our broken hearts. We make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.